Up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7 this morning, we're looking at what it means, the privilege of prayer. Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus has a lot to say about this particular topic, and it's a blessing to be able to be in His Word right now. In Matthew chapter 7, and looking at verse 7, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, Sermon on the Mount, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Verse 8, Matthew 7. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there amongst you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Let's pray. Father, we are here this morning, and I thank You so much, Lord, for this time of worship. Thank You for the songs and the heart and the passion. And thank You, Lord, as we required and requested of the Holy Spirit of God to be here with us, and You are ever present with us. We pray now for the blessing. Open up our hearts and minds. And again, my prayer, my belief, and my confidence is in You, in Your Word, in Your Spirit, to cause us this morning to be able to leave here knowing that You were in this place and that You're working all things out. We could come to You, Father, and receive from You the good things You have. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I can remember back, and it was after we just got married in 1978. In 1979, I was looking for a full-time career job. I had received a degree in business from California and had gone sideways, had never come to the Lord. And there was a time where I got saved, I got married, and I'd been looking for a job. I still have today the paperwork of about 30 different companies that I had contacted, looking and seeking for that job. And it's very interesting because there was an opportunity to work through a recruitment agency out of Denver. And in Denver, she said, I'm not sure we really want you to put you before a client. You haven't had work since you were out. You graduated. You've been working construction. You probably got this big beard, and I'm not going to put you before my clients. She was right. I did have a big beard. And I shaved it off. She hadn't seen it. Went in, and she goes, I'm going to put you before this one client, and we'll just see what you can do. So be thankful that I gave you that opportunity. And so I was praying and just asking God. You see, before that, before coming to Christ, living in California and growing up, just the music and the lyrics and thinking of a Beatles song, it says, he's a real nowhere man sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? That was a Beatles song. And a lot of these songs and music, they became anthems and things within our hearts or my heart. And I remember just living in this little alley in Long Beach and looking at this little mirror in this room I lived in, 9 by 11, and just looking and thinking, who are you? I mean, you're just trying to figure out, I needed to be saved. And then once I was saved, God gave me my wife. What a great blessing. And God gave me desires now. Lord, how are you going to use me in the things that are a part of my life? And I remember in the Stapleton Airport Hotel and going up to this interview and riding the elevator up. I don't remember what floor, but getting off. And I couldn't go to that room right away for that interview. I was overwhelmed with fear and insecurities completely. And I remember then dashing into a bathroom up there on that floor and looking at myself in the mirror and then thinking back of like, who are you? What are you doing? You're not going to get in. And all of this negative things from the past, and all of a sudden, the presence of the Lord. You're not a nowhere man. You're my man. I've come. I've redeemed you. It wasn't the mirror talking back to me, by the way. As a matter of fact, I knelt down. Nobody was in the bathroom. I checked both ways, left and right, so I was good. But I just says, God, God, I need your hand. I need your help. And I never realized this was the beginning of a breakthrough in my young Christian life, that I could come and ask God for help. And he wanted to help me. And he wanted to lead me. And I never knew that. I never had experienced that before. So, you know, 38, 39 years ago, that was just the beginning. And I'm still growing in this relationship. In fourth grade, I was thinking about my friend in the neighborhood. His name was Bumpy. And I think because he ran into things all the time. I think that's how he got his name. But I had my Stingray bike, and, you know, we went to parochial school, so we lived in kind of a parish area, and you could just take off, and so I'd go see. I remember one time at his house, at Bumpy's house, and it was in, early in the afternoon, and his dad was getting home from work, and I was there with Bumpy. We were playing ball and everything, and then Bumpy's dad drove up, and Bumpy and his brothers, they dropped what they had, and they ran to Dad as he's getting out of the car, saying, "Dad, Dad." And there was this sense of love and acceptance and affirmation, Bumpy and his dad. And for me, standing there, I can remember back, I felt like, I don't belong. This Bumpy's dad, not my dad. But I quickly got on my Stingray bike because I knew it was close to the time that my dad would be coming home. And I rode back to our house and sat on our concrete porch, feet on the second step, and waiting. And when my dad drove up, I ran to him. "Dad, glad that you're home." And there's something that God has made within us, a sense of, you know, being able to respond to this relationship. But God knows that in this world that we live in, there's a lot of heartache and a lot of brokenness in this particular area. Therefore, God knowing this and putting us together, God calls himself Father. And God extends an invitation to everyone. It doesn't matter where we're from, where we've been, what's happened in our life. It's absolutely equal across the board. And the Lord is waiting for us to run and say, "Abba, Father." As a matter of fact, Paul explaining this in Romans chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8, where Paul is speaking about this relationship that we now have with God, and it has everything to do with prayer, but he tells us in Romans chapter 8, when he's speaking about this in verse 12, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." I'm going to just hold on one second on this. Because we read out of Matthew, right? Matthew chapter 7 about this. And this account, this account of what we're reading at in our text today. Just hold on one second. In Luke's gospel, Jesus records the same thing in Luke's Gospel 11, chapter 11, verse 9 to 13. Remember how in what we just saw, Sermon on the Mount, ask and it will be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened, right? In Luke's Gospel, there's one thing added. And it says in verse 13 of Luke 11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," listen, "how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. So go back to Romans and really our worship time, so much about the Spirit of God and the presence of God. And right here, "For as many..." In Romans 8, 14, "as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.'" Now listen, the Jewish people never had, I believe, this privilege at all that Paul's revealing to us Abba, Father. And perhaps some have explained it in a very respectful and affectionate way. It's as though we're saying Papa. And I know when my little ones say Papa, they could have whatever they want. It's a very term of endearment. In verse 16, the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we also may be glorified together with him. So this morning, we're looking at prayer. We saw three things: ask, seek, and knock. Those are the three words: ask, seek, and knock. If you take the word ask, the letter A, ask, seek, S, knock, K, that equals the word ask. So if you're trying to remember what we're talking about, the word ask has ask, seek, and knock in it. Okay, now don't be confused. Let's move ahead. Here we go. So the Lord is saying that there in our relationship with him, he's looking for us to ask, to seek, and to knock. In our daily discipleship living studies that we send out every day, we're actually in John chapter 17. In John 17, at the end of the ministry, Jesus is there praying to the Father. He's calling out to the Father. He's expressing his love to the Father. And the Father says, all those things I give to you. And there's this relationship that Jesus has with God the Father. And listen, we can stand back in John 17 and look at Jesus in this relationship he has with the Father before he goes to the cross. But Jesus, in this communication of prayer with the Father, would be looking back at us, and he would say, come and join me in this prayer. As I communicate with the Father, I want you to be able to communicate with him also. Now, many times we get confused about prayer, don't we? A lot of misunderstanding, and even Christians will say, well, if God is all-knowing, then why do we pray? What's the purpose of prayer? There's a lot of discussion regarding prayer. Well, what do you think about that kind of discussion regarding prayer? Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought to always pray and not lose heart. Jesus said in Mark 14:38, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It says in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 5:16, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness, Jesus, and prayed. Jesus also said in Luke 9:18, while he was praying, his disciples came and joined him. Prayer is not to inform God or to impress God. Prayer is to fellowship with God. So why should we pray? Because Jesus prayed. That's the answer. Because Jesus prayed. Well, what is prayer all about? Prayer is about fellowship with God. Can we come to God about anything? Absolutely anything and everything. Is he put off even by silly types of requests or even selfish requests or uncertain? Come to God. Come to him. Talk to him. Ask him. Seek him. Knock. These aren't phrases that are just randomly said into the scriptures. Jesus himself, he asked the Father, Father, if this cup should pass, if it's possible, but Father, I'm asking, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus asked. Seek. Jesus says, I have come to seek and to save those that are lost. Knock. I stand at the door and knock. as many as will open the door, I will come in and dine with them, and they with me. What a wonderful privilege God has given to us to pray. So if we ask people around the world, we take a random survey, do you pray, do you pray, do you pray? I believe the statistical response is going to be astronomically high. The percentage of people that pray, and they answer the question with sincerity, they pray, but I'm going to be straight and forthright as I am with you and with God's word. Unless we are born again and we have the Spirit of God living within us and we come to the Father through Jesus Christ, if that is not happening, then I'm going to be bold enough to say that your prayers are useless. They are no good. Now, I know that could offend a lot of people. We air this, by the way. I'm not interested in whether I offend anybody if I did it, you know, selfishly or insincerely, or if I'm wrong, I stand to be corrected. But I don't want to see anybody misled down the road. Certainly when we pray, we feel better, even if you're praying to a moon or clouds, whatever, because you did an exercise, and in that exercise, in that routine, you feel yourself, you feel like you feel better, but nothing took place. Nothing took place. We come boldly, in Hebrews, we come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. Our prayer, what we're talking about as believers, is the privilege we have because now we are children of God, and the Spirit of God lives within us. So an unbeliever, because that's a good question. So does God then hear an unbeliever's prayer? He heard mine. Maybe he heard yours. But you didn't have the Spirit of God living within you. No, the Spirit of God was convicting me of my sins. And in my sinful, unregenerated state, I say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. Forgive me of my sins. The Spirit of God was working to convict me. The Spirit of God convicts all of us of our sins, and it points us to Jesus, and we humbly come before him. And all of a sudden, there's this new relationship we have with God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, that's pretty weak. Friends, the reason that we can be in the situation we're in, the world's in the situation in, much has to do with prayerlessness. And if you look at your life or my life or whatever, and you look at whatever you're trying to figure out, work through, or whatever else, you might have tossed up some prayers of God to God, but I'm asking you straight up today, second time I use that term, but listen, are we asking, are we seeking, are we knocking, are we persevering in this, are we persistent in this? That's what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying, it's not about this situation you're concerned about. It's about me and you, and I want you. The Lord says, I want you. I want everything. 2 Corinthians 6:1. We then, as workers together with him, we also plead with you. So in this fellowship, in this relationship that we have with him, we're able to follow God's leading and God's purposes and his will. Back in Matthew chapter 7, as we go through this, ask, seek, and knock. There's a progression that's taking place. And the way this is written is ask and keep asking, knock and keep knocking, seek and keep seeking. It's a petition. It's a desire that we have. James 4, 1 and 2, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. When Solomon was given the responsibility of his father, David, over the kingdom, And it tells us in 1 Kings chapter 3. And the Lord comes and is basically saying, what is it that you want? Therefore, give to your servant, Solomon responds, an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Ask. It's something that we want to do. It's a petition. So we're going to dig a little deeper right now. I want to grow in my prayer life, my prayer walk, everything. Prayer is not an event. It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment. And I want to be far better than I am. One of the things that I can do more frequently is actually write down specific things. We do keep, I do keep somewhat, but I can do better at that. In other words, in studying this, for me personally, I want to press in and not give up, to continue on, to persevere. So for me personally, that's one thing I'm going to do more of. Write it out. Maybe even put a date next to it. It records a date automatically, but just be aware, because I want to do that. I want to ask God for His help. I need His help. The idea of seeking, ask, and seek. We give up too soon. We quit. And the Lord's trying to teach us something this morning. You say, Pastor, can you tell me, when is it time to quit praying? When is it time? So say I'm praying for something. When is it time to quit praying? Because God provided what I was praying for. He provided it. I can praise Him. But that request, I just thank you, God. You provided that. Thank you. And I want to continue to thank Him. We spent quite a bit of time this morning thanking God and back during our hour prayer today. Just thanking Him. Thanking Him for you. Thanking Him for our work, thanking Him for our leaders, thanking Him, just thanking Him as we've been going through the summer, thanking Him for His leadership in our lives, thanking Him. So when God provides, thank you, Lord, thank you. Well, what if He doesn't provide it there? Do you still pray? Here's what happens sometimes, at least to me. Maybe it's not in my hand, but maybe He's provided the answer in my heart. In other words, I was praying for a specific thing, thinking this is what I needed. This is it, Lord. Put it there when I'll stop praying, in this hand, whatever it is. But the Lord, through this asking, seeking, and knocking, through this time of fellowship with Him, He settled the matter. What I think I needed or wanted, He resolved it in my heart. It's taken care of. It's not the issue that it once was. And in my heart, it's settled. God, thank you. Remember Paul? He had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed. He asked. He sought. He knocked. God, records three times he asked, Lord, remove this. It's an attack. Remove this from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient. And Paul, so he ministered to Paul's heart. And when he ministered, the sense of his grace is sufficient, Paul said, then in my weakness, I'll rejoice. Because God answered that. This is what I thought I needed. He called me to be the representative to the people. How can I represent Him with this physical problem that I have? It's keeping me from being the evangelist. And God says, actually, that's going to stay in place. But you're going to experience, because of this fellowship you've had with me, I'm pouring out my grace upon you. And you're going to need my grace more than you're needing the healing. What's ahead? You have no idea. So I'm pouring out my grace upon your life. It's not in your hand. It's in your heart. That's where I minister to. When should you stop praying? When God says no. And God can say no. Well, that's not fair. I read the scripture. It says, ask and it will be given to you. There it is. I'm asking, you owe me. And you probably can hear, do you want to play that way? Listen, he lovingly gives us an illustration. He says, you know, mom and dad. Mom and dad love you. Mom and dad want to provide for you. You're hungry. They're going to give you something. They're not going to give you a rock or a scorpion. They're going to take care of you. And the Lord says, now, the whole human race, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Hopefully we don't debate that. But he says, understanding the evilness of your heart, you still care and you still do good things. And he says, I want to take that illustration. The Lord is saying, in a human way, you still do good things. God says, now in a heavenly way, in heaven, who I am, you think I'm going to do anything less? God says, I want the best for you. And sometimes what you're seeking for is not the best for you. So he'll say no. You know something else? This whole progression of asking, seeking, and knocking. Even with a pure heart, which hopefully we have, but I must confess, many times my heart isn't pure. It's what I want. It's for me. I remember this illustration. This illustration, because a lot of people think God is just a genie in a bottle. Right? Just rub it, the lamp. Your wish. What do you want? A lot of people relate to God that way. There was a guy who found the lamp on the beach. Genie appears. How come you guys are all paying attention now? Genie goes, whoa, you've got three wishes. You're kidding, really? Three wishes, whatever you want. Anything, absolutely. I'd like to have $100 million. The genie says, your wish is my command. Boom, $100 million. He checks his account. Whoa, it's there, the genie, $100 million. Whoa, genie goes, we're not finished. You got a second wish. What do you want? I'd love to have a 911 turbo Porsche. Your wish is my command. Poof. Wow. The Porsche and the money. Genie goes, you got one more wish. What do you want? I mean, I got the money and the car. What do you want? He goes to the genie, well, I've been rather selfish today. I might as well keep the streak going. What do you want? It's the last wish. And this selfish, prideful guy just says, you know what, genie? I'd like to be irresistible to women. Genie goes, your wish is my command. Poof! He became a box of chocolate. Okay. All right. Back on track. Parents, what are you teaching? I know what this world is teaching your children. I know what other churches are doing too, shamingly, but are you teaching that God is good? God is good, right? Are we teaching that to our children? Are we teaching that God is wise and he knows what we need and God is able? God, your Father in heaven. Father who will hear me and a king who will answer me. Sometimes those answers are direct. Sometimes the answer is different than what I thought, but it's better, so much better. Sometimes it's denied because it's not good. And sometimes, we've all experienced this, it's delayed. It's delayed because God has to do something in my own life. I'm not ready for that answer yet. I don't have the capacity to handle that answer that he wants to bring yet. There's too much of me and not enough him. There's not enough wisdom yet. There's not enough understanding. So I believe that God puts desires in our hearts. Delight yourself in the Lord. It says he gives you the desires of our heart. So I believe as we're walking and fellowshipping with him, I believe he puts things within our heart. There's desires that are there. We pray and we don't understand. We say, God, it seems so clear this is the direction you want to go. It's not opening up. I'm asking, seeking, knocking. Nothing's happening. Keep praying, because what is happening is God is changing us. God does want to provide. It's just like parents. Parents, your children will ask you for things before they have the capacity to handle the responsibility. You want to provide, you're headed in that direction. There's going to come a time you're going to trust and give that responsibility, but you're making a decision based on where they're at now and what it takes. And God is no different in that regard. So when we're looking here, and we saw that in Luke, it says, regarding the Holy Spirit of God, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, as we're concluding with this, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What's transforming me is this. Many times in my life, it's God, I have a need, meet the need. I have a need, thank you, meet the need. I have a need, meet the need. But God already told us in Matthew 6, he says, I know your needs. I know what you need before you ask. I'm going to take care of you. I don't want you to worry. You're not going to add a single change into your size or anything else by worrying. I want to provide for you. So I believe taking the Sermon on the Mount and praying for the Holy Spirit, saying, God, here's my prayer. I'm asking, seeking, and knocking. God, show me again what it is to be poor in spirit. Teach me how to be broken over my sin and over the sins of this world. God, meekness is what you're looking for. Hunger and thirsting, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. Being able to withhold persecution in this world, being salt and being light, understanding the declared righteousness that he gives to us, not being angry in your heart with your brother or lustful. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Whoever compels you 1 mile, go two with them. These are things on the Sermon on the Mount. You say, you want to pray? Pray these. Pray about this. Ask. Seek. Knock. This message on the Sermon on the Mount, he has his team with him. These are the disciples of the first century. These are the New Testament disciples. These are the first ones rolling forward as ministers of the church. This is the team. And he's with this team and he's saying, you can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot do it if you don't come to me and pray and ask and seek and knock. Be persistent. We're not playing a game. I want to change your life. I want to lead your life. And it's going to happen through the practical things of life. He's saying this to the first century disciples. I consider myself, ourselves, the last century disciples. I admit right now, I could absolutely be wrong. I admit that. But I'm living like we are the last century disciples of the church. with a sense of urgency, a sense of love, a sense of understanding of God and His Word. If it's different, it's different. But at least we went out giving it everything we had for the Lord, because we ask and we seek and we knock and we need the Holy Spirit of God. I am so overwhelmed, as you would be as well, when we look at the world right now, when we understand the conversations that are going on between the leader of our nation and of another nation. I mean, they're speaking about nuclear, missiles. They're speaking about geographical locations. It's not just in theory, it's for real, friends. And not only that, but there's the motivation and determination. This is what's happening right now. So we need to wake up. We need to be aware of what's happening. Not to panic, but I'm going to be asking, seeking, and knocking like never before. And you have Iran. And obviously, they're the ones that have supplied what North Korea has. But then we supplied to Iran the finances so that they can do it. My friends, it's a crazy, mixed up time that we live within. Russia is on the doorstep of Israel right now, as well with Iran's support right there. Our nation is in a sense of a civil war in many ways right now. Many ways. It grieves our heart. It does not represent us. It does not represent Jesus at all. We are His representatives, right? We do have work to do. God has work for all of us to do. We leave here today saying, God, You're in control. God, thank You so much for being in control. Thank You for Your grace that has helped me out along the way. Thank You so much for that grace, God. Thank You that You want to give what we need. Good and perfect gift comes from above. God, forgive me for not pursuing You like I want to. I'm not leaving here with condemnation. I'm leaving here with excitement. I got to give this to God. He's in control. I can participate. I have the privilege of prayer. God, I'm praying for our national leaders. I'm praying for our spiritual leaders. Lord, we're praying for our family members. Lord, we're praying for the prodigals and the lost to come back to You. Lord, we're praying. We're praying that our young people get caught up in the Spirit of God and the desire and the hunger for the purposes of God. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Father, we do just dedicate ourselves to You right now. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that this message about prayer isn't so much about my needs being met. You will meet them. As a matter of fact, God says, I will do abundantly beyond all you can ask or think according to the riches in Christ Jesus. This message is about You and our fellowship with You. And You're inviting us to come and say, Abba, Father. And You are using prayer, the privilege of prayer. You're using this union and communion in prayer. So we have a place to go to hear You, to hear our Father. Abba, Father, speak to us, God, today. Speak to our hearts. Renew, God, our passion and fervency for You. They prayed with fervency, it says in Acts. May that be true about us. Break through upon our hearts, Lord. Awaken us. Cause us not to be overwhelmed with the anxieties of today, but rather to say, God, You're in control. And I could bring it to You and say, God, teach me to pray. If any of you here right now, you've lost your way spiritually, or you've never come to a point, like myself, I was 25, and I came to a point through the conviction of the Spirit of God, saying, God, I have sinned against You. Please forgive me. As many as believed, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the one who died for your sins, rose again from the dead. God, may You be our strength, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.